Welcome to another podcast of New Far Generation. We are a youth group located in the city of Hialeah Gardens. With you are your hosts, Alejandro Foucault and
Alex Rodriguez.
We want to invite you every Friday at 8 p.m. to join a group of youth on fire for Jesus. You will meet new and interesting people, take part in exciting activities, and listen to a preaching that will change your life forever.
We are located at 8833 Northwest 107th Street, Hialeah Gardens, Florida, 33018.
You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, and Twitter by going into the search field and looking up under the name of New Far Generation. Enjoy the show.
How many of you, you just love sports, that you rather stop doing other stuff because you want to see your sports and you give up anything to see your sports or go and play sports? And I'm sure that even when your team is playing, I'm more than sure that when your team is playing, you guys are probably together with friends and you're like, yeah! And you probably do this funky dance and everything, right? And you're not embarrassed, right? Because you just love it, right? That's how we are. That's how I was in high school when my brother played football. I used to be, yeah! I used to be like that. I loved it. I'm sure you guys are the same way, right? I don't know what you guys like, but many of us like something and we feel very passionate about it, right? Passion is what we have inside of us. It's a driven force for everything, for music, architect. For everything that we do, we have to have passion in life. That's like the motor behind everything. Like when you wake up, you have to have passion. So tonight, we are going to speak about that. It says that the creative force behind all great art, all great drama, all great music, all great architecture, all great writing is passion. Nothing great is ever accomplished in life without passion. Tonight, we're going to read off Mark 12:30. For those of you who brought a Bible, you can open it up there. And this is a commandment that the Lord gave us above all. He says there, somebody asked the Lord, hey, Lord, you know, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, I want you to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Nothing matters more than that. It's telling you, you have to love the Lord with all your energy, with everything that you got. Just like you love sports, just like you love anything else, you have to love the Lord the same way. You cannot be a wimp about loving God. It is 100% or it's nothing. That's how God wants you to love him. Because he loves you just the same way. He didn't go to that cross for nothing. I mean, his heart was torn up for you because he loved you. And that's what he wants from you guys. The same way he wants to be loved. Amen. He doesn't want you to love him just halfway. He wants you to love him 100%. He said, love God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Okay, the word passion in Greek means relationship with me. There's a lot of things that you guys are struggling with inside. There's things that probably you don't know, and God will take care of that. But you just gotta get close to him. Feel that passion for him, that love for him. Just like you feel passion for Facebook, MySpace, internet, same way. You know, when you run home and say, ooh, I want to see who emailed me. Ooh, this guy, let's see if you're talking to him. Same way. God wants you to love. That's what the Bible says. Seek him passionately. Okay? And Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart and unto the Lord and not unto men. He says, I want you to do everything passionately when it comes to loving me, serving me, living me. He doesn't want little. He wants a lot from you guys. In America, like I was telling you guys when I asked you about sports, it's okay. I know you guys, if you see sports, I know you guys see people doing crazy things. I mean, people paint their faces, people go dressed, you know, certain color. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good to do it. But when it comes to your faith, people have a problem with that. You know, if you love God the same way with that same passion, people think you're, a fanatic. It's okay to do it for sports, and they'll say, oh, wow, he's really a fan. But when you do it for God, then they say, oh, man, he's a fanatic. But you know what? Just as the same way you love the sports with that passion, anything in your life that you love, that's the same way you have to be with God. Same passionate way, same crazy way. Don't be embarrassed. That's why you see people up here when they're praising God. They don't care. They just forget about everything because you know what? It's all about him. You giving yourself all to him. And you don't have to be embarrassed about worshiping God at all. As a matter of fact, when you're worshiping the peer, you know, he changes you. You probably don't know it, but he's, you know, he's changing you. Okay? Don't be embarrassed about worshiping God all the way. It says here that don't lack in zeal. Okay? Because again, in our culture, it's okay to do everything except religion, except your faith. We always need to keep that spiritual fervor. Because if we don't, if that fire starts getting cold, then you start getting separated from God. And that's when things start happening. I know you guys, many of you are going through a lot of things. But I can guarantee you, if you guys leave it to God, He will take care of them. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your culture. It doesn't matter your characteristic. Everybody has something that they're going through. But if you leave it up to God and get that fire going by seeking Him, believe me, once you get passionate about Him, nothing else is going to matter. But we need to have that passion in us. We need to have that fire in us. A lot of us still don't take God seriously. You have to take God seriously, okay? Because He loves you. He loves you just the way you are. Doesn't matter, again, your age. It doesn't matter your color. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter how you are. He loves you that way. There's a lot of things that take up your passion away, and you guys have to be careful. One of them is an unbalanced schedule. In Psalms 127, it says that it's senseless for you to work so hard every early in the morning until late night, fearing that you're going to starve to death. Okay, God wants you to have a balanced schedule. He wants you to work, but He also wants you to rest. Many of you, I know you guys love to give a lot. You know, a lot of you give a lot in the service. A lot of you love to share. A lot of you love to give. But you have to have a balance. Because guess what? If you don't take time to recharge, you're going to burn out. And God wants you to have a balanced life. Okay? A lot of you, I know, do a lot of your output. You work, you serve, you do this, you do that. But you need time to charge or else you will burn. And that's when you start falling away from God. You start falling boredom. You're not going to care anymore. And you have to be very careful. Because God loves you so much that He wants you to rest. You have to be careful. If you start feeling like you don't care anymore, that's when you already have started burning. If you are a person that's always working, always giving, and you notice that you come to church and you start drying out, then there's a problem there. And in the other extreme, we got people that don't do anything. And the other way around, doesn't work, doesn't do anything, just feeds, goes to Bible studies, comes to the services, but doesn't serve. That's the extreme opposite, okay? So, you know, we have streams. You can't be on one stream or the other. God wants you to be balanced. He gave you to give, you know, output and also input, okay? He wants you to have a balanced life. You're supposed to serve. Okay, don't think now because I said that you need to recharge. You're going to say, oh, no, I'm not going to serve. No, it's not about that. Watch out. Because it says here that also God gives you responsibility. It says, to him who knoweth to do good and doesn't do it is sin. Okay? You realize that the more you know, the more responsibility you have unto God. The more you know of the word, the more you're learning. There's more responsibility being put on you. So you have to have a ministry. It's not like, oh, I'm going to take a rest and I'm not going to do nothing in the church. No, you have to have a ministry. That's part of your balance to know what to do in church. Have something to do in church. Okay? It's part of your balance. It says that on 1 Timothy 4:7, take the time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. It says, train yourself to be godly. How do you do that? Balance yourself. Just like you guys take the time to watch out on your diet, what you feed your body, it's the same way with the God's word. You have to be careful. You have to make the right diet. You have to balance the word. Amen? There's five things you guys have to be careful. One of them is you need to have time to worship God privately and corporately. Two, you need to have time when you're fellowshipping with other believers. Three, you need to have time when you're reading God's word and growing as a Christian. Four, You need to have time of ministry, service, when you're giving out and using your abilities. And five, you need to time to mission, where you're sharing your faith with others. You don't want to go have one more of this or more of that. You want to have a balance. You know, in everything that I just read, there has to be a balance. Not one more one side, one more on the other side. No, because that's what I was telling you, you get tired. And you don't want to get tired. You want to have enough recharge so you can keep going. Number two, an unused talent. This is another passion killer. A lot of you have been given talents. God has blessed you with many wonderful gifts to use for the service of others. He gave you talents, ability, personality, gifts. But remember, the gifts that he gave you is not for your benefit. It's for the benefit of others. What he gave you is to benefit others, not yourself. Okay, you have to be careful when you think that what he gave you is for your benefit. It's not. It's for others. If you don't use your talents, you're going to lose your passion. God did not give you special abilities just to sit on them and do nothing. What God says is, I want you to use it, not lose it. It's just like being in a job. Sometimes many of you that are already working might be in a job and you're not using, you're probably using, I don't know, probably 30%, and you start losing passion. Why? Because not all your abilities that what you were made for are being used in that job. A lot of you are probably bored. A lot of you are probably, I don't know, maybe you want to leave that job. Just got to think about it, pray about it. But, you know, you don't want to be in a place where you're not being used, you know, more than what you know you have, what God gave you. Because, again, you'll be burning out in the place where you are. It says on 1 Corinthians 7:7, each one should live his life with the gifts that the Lord has given him. God gave you gifts and abilities and talents to use. Again, if you're in a job, in no job you're really going to be used 100% of what God gave you. That's why you need a ministry in your church to use it. Talents that are not being used in your job. So you come and use it here in church. That's why we get trained. There's different. That's why you got houses of peace. That's why you got Bible studies, because you get trained here. That's part of your ministry. That's what God wants to use. The part that you don't use in your real job out there, you come and use it right here. And that's how you get a balance in the things of the kingdom. Okay. Number three, and this is one that many of you have to look inside of you and then confess sin. You guys, we cannot be, you know, a lot of times we walk around and say, oh, this is nothing. But you know what? In your subconscious, there's things that could be as little as not forgiving somebody. And that is right there and there. You cannot be walking around that. Because you know what? If you have something against somebody, or you have not forgiven somebody for something in the past, you're already losing your passion. That makes you lose your passion. And you can, as Christians, you cannot be walking with that guilt. We cannot feel the enthusiasm and guilt at the same time. That cannot happen. Guilt and passion at the same time, because guilt, by its definition, robs you of your passion. Psalm 38:4-6. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and am brought low. When there's guilt in you, when there's something that you have not confessed to God, that's bringing you already down. That's already drying you out. You already have lost your passion for God. And many of you are probably walking that way. You probably come to church, but in reality, you have lost the passion inside of you. And that's what God wants to do tonight. He wants to bring that passion back to you guys. That passion that you have lost for whatever reason. All of you know what you're going through. I don't know, but he knows. What are the issues that are you going through, whether it's family, whether it's your job, whether somebody let you down. A lot of times your friends let you down and your dreams, you know, go down the drain. Don't allow that. God doesn't want you to be walking with your head down, because you're going to crash. Just like a computer crashes, that's what will happen to you. And that will take your joy away and take the passion away. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God can be trusted to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because you know what? That's a promise he made. Once you confess the things that are killing you inside, the sin, whatever that's inside of you, whatever is bothering you, whatever it's in there that is not letting your passion go out for God, He has made a promise, and you have to confess that in order to be walking again in that passion. Number four, on unresolved conflicts. Sometimes, guys, you know, just like when you're so happy about everything that you're doing, you wake up, you say, oh, this is the day God has made, and you're about to leave your house, and wakala, you have a conflict with somebody before you leave. You know, those things do happen on a daily basis. Sometimes somebody just messes up your day by something they say. But you know what? Your attitude you have to be careful with your attitude, because you can go flat. Just like, you know, like the balloons that are blown with helium, that they go up, and little by little, the air starts coming out. That's what happens with passion. Sometimes, you know, when you begin, you came the first time, you accepted Jesus in your life, and you were all excited. You say, yes, Lord, yes, you know, I got somebody that forgave my sins, and you're all happy about it, you rejoice about it. Well, guess what? Little by little, that air starts coming out. And if you're not careful, just like the balloons come down and lay flat, that's the same thing that happens with your passion if you don't be careful. Okay? Your passion starts falling to the floor, and that's when you start losing it with God. You have to be very careful. There's three emotions that will kill your passion in the midst of conflict, and those are resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. On Job 5:2, it says that the resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. You have to be very careful, because these are passion killers. If you know that you have a resentment for somebody, jealousy, or you have a prolonged anger for whatever reasons, guys, you have to be careful. You have to confess that out to God, because you know what? Right there, those are passion killers. Your passion has already been stolen from you, and you guys are probably not even aware of it. Job 18:4 says, you are only hurting yourself with your anger. Why? Because probably the other person doesn't even know your anger. You're just walking around all angry all day. But guess what? That anger is inside of you, and the one that's really killing, it's you. It's not the other person. It's little by little, it's taking away from you. If you want that passion to be restored in your heart, in your life, you have to forgive. You got to let it go. It's not up to you. You have to give it to God. Let God take care of it. Whatever it is, let God take care of it. Because if you don't, again, that passion has already been gone out of you. You cannot let it control your life. You got to give it to God and say, hey, Lord, control this. I give you this, whatever it is, jealousy, resentment. I don't know what it is, but you have to give it to God. It's not up to you. Number five, an unsupported lifestyle. Sometimes you lose passion for God because you're not spending time around with other people who have a passion for God. You're not spending time around other Christians. You're not getting any fellowship. You need to be sharing with other brothers and sisters in the faith. Why? Because you're keeping fellowship, and that's what God wants. Wants you to guys have. But that's what you have to do. You have to hang around other Christians, okay? Because if not, again, you hang around the wrong people, they're going to take the passion away from you. I mean, what are you going to do with people from the world? I mean, you're going to talk about God. They're not going to talk about God. So you have to be careful. You have to be really careful. Set an example, and again, fellowship with other Christians. Again, in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says that two are better than one. Because why? Because if one falls, the other one gets him up. That's the reason God wants you to go around with other Christians, with other fellowships, you know, that believe, that have the same faith as you. Because while you're going down, while you're going through something hard at the moment, that person is going to bring you up. It's going to give you word, you know, it's going to give you a word to lift you up. But come on, if you guys are feeling down, you think somebody from the outside is going to give you a word to lift you up? No, they're not. They're probably going to tell you something that you're mad at somebody. They're probably say, oh, who cares about that person? Something like that. But no, you need to have Christian friends. Again, if you don't, passion starts dying down. A lot of times people start coming to church, but little by little they start drawing back. And that's the reason why, because their hearts already have started turning cold. You have to be careful with that. In Hebrews 10:24-25 says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let's not give up meeting together, and let us encourage one another. Encourage each of, you know, one another. If somebody's going through something, you know, give a word of uplift to your sister or to your brother in faith. That's what we're here for, to lift each other's up. Another passion killer is that an unclear purpose. A lot of times, many of you might not know what your purpose is, or you don't know what's the purpose on your life, but that's another way to kill the passion for God. If you don't know the purpose of your life, you have to have a purpose, an activity with a direction. If not, you're already, again, dying down. If you get distracted, a lot of times we could get distracted for many things that happen in our lives. If you guys are not be careful, that's another passion killer right there, when you get distracted of the things of God. Many of you are still young. There's a lot of things out there that can get you distracted. You have to be very careful the persons you hang around with, because believe me, they're going to pull you away. And that's what the enemy wants, for you guys to be distracted. So you guys stop coming to church, so you guys can stop seeking his love. And you don't want to do that. Passion and purpose go together. When you have a clear purpose, it's going to give you a lot of passion. But it's not up to God. It's up to you. You're the ones that make that decision, not God. If you're living for yourself, that's pretty stinky purpose that you have. You have to live to be very passionate. God made you to do things, you know, greater than yourself. God made you to serve others. That's why every one of you is different. He gave you each other's, you know, different talents, different personalities, but he wants you guys to use them for the benefit of others. If something that you'd rather be doing anything else and you wouldn't give it up for money because it means more to you, or right there, your passion is already going down. Because passion is waking up in the morning, wherever you are, bounding out of bed because you know there's something out there. Just like I told you, sports, is it something you love? That's because you have passion for it. And that's the same thing God wants us to have, passion for him, for his word. Getting up every morning and thinking about him, that's what God wants, for you to have passion for him. So you guys have to be careful. It's not about fame, wealth, success, or pleasures. It's having a clear purpose in life. Another thing that kills your passion is an unnourished spirit. If you guys are not coming to church, if you guys are not participating in a house of peace, you know, how are you guys going to nourish your spirit in order not to lose that passion? I know a lot of you go to school and work. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you have to find time to nourish your spirit. Again, there's going to be a lot of distractions out there and disappointments and a lot of conflicts, because that's the way life is. Changes, challenges, and pressures. But through all this, you need to have time to seek God, seek his word, seek his face. That's going to be like the pump that's going to make you keep going for him, that passion in you. If you're not, then you're going to be dried up. What I told you at the beginning, number one, you need time of worship with God every day, privately and corporately. You need to fellowship with other believers. You need to read God's word and grow to be more like Christ. You need to have a ministry where you're using your talents to help other people. And you need a mission in the world where you're sharing your faith. If you choose one of these purposes and forget the other, then you are unbalanced. You need to have a balance in your life when it comes to the things of God. You need to have them all. Remember how God feels about you. He loved you hopelessly. He's madly in love with you. That's what you guys got to get it together in your head. God loves you so much. He went to that cross to die for you. And believe me, it was not a pretty picture. I know when you see that movie, The Passion of the Christ, I mean, really, all those slashes that they give him, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy. But you know what? He did it because he loved you. He loved you so much. And that's the way he wants you to love him, with that passion. That nothing else matters in life but him. God showed us, he loved us by sending his son to the cross to die for us. And that's the reason we need to be impassionately in love with him. It says here that the worst thing that a Christian can sin is not about adultery. It's not about murder. It's not sort of sexual perversion. But it's what it says in Revelation 3. He says it's lukewarmness, no passion. God either wants you cold or he wants you hot for him, passionate about him. He doesn't want you in the middle. He wants you to either you don't know him, either you're going to serve him 100%, or you're not going to serve him. But he doesn't want 50% out of you. He wants 100% out of you. If Jesus is God and he died and loved you that much, you owe him the rest of your life, every spare minute of it. If he didn't, then go home and live a self-centered life. The only thing Christianity cannot be is moderately important. It either disturbs your entire life or nothing. And with this, I just want to leave you.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.